When was the last time you refreshed your bedding? Sleep cooler with Avocado's naturally breathable, certified organic sheets. Choose from GOTS-certified organic cotton, linen, or hemp, all made-safe certified to the highest standards of non-toxic safety, delivering the ultimate in luxury, sustainability, and style, and a deeper, more restorative sleep. Join Avocado's mission to be one of the world's most sustainable brands at avocadomattress.com.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Whoop. Whoop.
Whoop.
What a pretty whoop. Siren they have.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
I can hear myself.
I can hear myself.
You can.
Darling? Darling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You sound
la
great.
La lee lulu.
Lee lulu la la la. Hi.
Da 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 dee da doo.
Hi. Hello. I'm in Scotland.
You look super Scottish. I love
do
your
I?
Kilt. Do
Thank
you wear
you
that
so
every
much.
Day when you're in
I
Scotland?
I do. And it's not appropriation because I'm white.
Okay. Perfect. What's your tartan?
My maybe? Tartan is the... Miriam Margolyes and Alan Cumming tartan.
Oh, good
yes.
one. Good
Thank
tartan.
Thank you. That's a really good tartan. They actually did make a tartan, Alan Cumming. And by the way, okay, crowdsourcing this question, a.k.a. just for Quinn. Should KK and I spend £25 each to see Miriam Margolyes? Is that her name? Miriam Margolyes?
No.
Okay,
Julianne.
No. No.
Margolyes?
Yes, but hold
from
on.
The good,
not...
From the good doctor or something?
No.
A good wife?
Let me
she
see.
She was good
hold
at
on.
Something.
Not
Maybe
her.
Even acting.
This one's Miriam. This one's a Miriam. Hold on. Let me just look because you're going to recognize her right away. Miriam. It's not Margolyes? Miriam. Margolyes. Yeah, she's a British American editor. This bitch. She's amazing.
Oh, I don't know her.
Wait, she was Professor Sprout, Madam, in Harry
oh,
Potter.
Oh, yeah.
And
cute.
She's amazing. And she's doing Fun. A show here called, I think, yep. Dickens, All the Best Bits. And she's like 82 years old. And I feel like I'll mm-hmm. be seeing a fucking icon. And she's amazing. So I think I have to see her for £25.
Completely.
I have to. I ran into Matt Zambrano. Shout out to Hold On To Your Butts, that show.
Did you just
so
run
fun.
Into him? Or you
no, we hung out. We hung oh, out. Yeah. He saw okay. my show. I saw his show. Their show's so good.
Isn't it's, that show funny?
It's so fun. And Matt's
so
good. They
do such a good job.
They do such a good job. And
yeah, I love it.
Doing my show, you know, getting started, just like hitting that like ramp up and like psyching myself out and the like stress of the art world, man, at the Edinburgh Fringe. She's alive and well. But it's
the
fun.
Stresses.
It's just stressful, right? You're like, oh, yeah. God. And, like, it brings up stuff of, like, you're, like, looking at every other show and you're like, that looks like a good show. Is my show good? You know what I mean? Like, you just have, like, a lot yeah. of internal doubt. But that being said, at our show, some people have come back, including some listeners of the podcast. So I want to shout
really?
Out. Some friends
in Edinburgh?
Of, yes. They were like, saw your show last year. I've been listening to Truly Darkly Creepily every week. So I want to just give Love. A shout out to our new friends. Well, they've been around for a while, but it was so nice to meet you in person. Love it.
That's so fun. I love that. Congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulations
so
to
fun
them.
To be out there back where you belong.
Back where I belong. It's been fun. We added this new bit, the improvised chick flick bit, where we ask the audience their favorite chick flick and we improvise it on stage very quickly. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's been amazing because we've done the show, hold on, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We've done the show 6 times and mm-hmm. every show has been different.
Every show different.
Every show different choice. Chick flick. Yeah. Yeah, pretty amazing. Fun. Pretty fun. Fun stuff.
What's your favorite that you got to act out?
It's hard because some of them we've done before, so it feels more comfortable. The one we did last night I thought was pretty funny. We did Moulin Rouge, and it was not it was not like great, but it was really fun. There was like a lot of I did a can-can, I did the splits, like I really went for it. And so that was fun. Like we sang
a lot.
Don't
pull anything. Got a lot more to go.
Got a lot more, but you know what? Leave it out there, man. Leave it on the stage, baby, is what I say.
Well, if I did the splits, I'd be leaving something on the stage. They'd be clean up on aisle three. Like,
clean up on aisle Quinn. This is not good.
Don't do that again.
Please, our insurance won't cover it. Yeah, our insurance will not cover that. I did see one of my favorite shows that I've seen so far is a show called My Son's a Queer. And What Are You Going to Do? Or something of that subtitle nature. It's by this performer, Rob Madge. And the show... I'm dying for you to see it. There was talks of it coming to Broadway. It is the most incredible show. It's a solo show, and it's about this performer who always wanted to perform. And what's amazing is they use archival footage from when they were a kid, and it shows their parents' love and support. And they like put together a Disney parade with all these found things and. They're kind of like a very strict director, I would say, as a young child. And it's really amazing to watch. What's really beautiful about it is this kid is so loved, beloved by their parents and both sets of grandparents. And it's this beautiful coming of age story for a queer kid who, you know, I think when we consume that stuff, sometimes it's like you see the family not accepting that child. And in this case, it's a family who loves this child, and it's the world around them that, you know, hurt them or tried to sort of stifle them because they were different. And it's just this, like, it's so stunning. And I was sobbing. I was straight up sobbing the whole show because it was so beautiful. I'm just dying for you to see it. I'm dying for you to see it. Where are you going? Are you going to Denver?
Yeah. We're going to Denver, and... I just got a thing that was like, let me just see this. All right, we're not sitting together, which is going to be very funny, but that's fine. All right, let's do this. Looks good. Sorry, let me just...
No, you're fine.
Continue to boarding pass.
So Griffin's going to be sitting by himself?
Yeah, I like that, though. Don't you?
Wait, because I am curious how that works out for people.
Me too, and that's why I'm always like, yeah, go for it. Like, definitely, you go for it.
Quinn likes to play a game of chicken with airlines.
I like to play chicken.
It's very, because have you done, has this happened before?
Yeah, they'll put you together. They're not going to let my fucking three-year-old, like, sit in the middle of somebody.
Although somebody probably is like, sick, a three-year-old in between us. Like, I have so much more space. I can use the armrests.
You know, that's the problem when you get the cheap stuff that, like, it doesn't come with anything.
It is that I always, that's like, there's got to be a site that's like, okay, if you pay for this, here's what you get. And just, like, the brass bones. Because I think also airlines are, like, pretty mysterious about it. Which, I fly Southwest often.
Yeah.
And the news just dropped that they're changing their... seating policy where they're going to assign seats now instead of you can just like claim your seats.
Okay.
Which is annoying.
Yeah, we do the one that's like you can't pick a seat and then whatever time we check in,
yeah,
they're like,
here's your seat.
Yeah.
Which
all
doesn't
right, sorry
to me,
I'm
doesn't
done with that
me.
I just like was like, oh my god, we like need seats, and no it's like two of us are like this with an empty middle, so I'm like, that's fine. That'll be me and a kid. But then, like, Matt's, like one of us is here and one of us is, like, here. And I'm like, we'll put Griff by himself and see what people say.
You're going to put Koa. You're going to be like, we're going to take our six-year-old and he's going to sit there. And our three-year-old, you know what? Honestly,
I'm
good
not
luck.
About it. Yeah. So I'm sorry about that. We are flying not today, but tonight, I should say. Our flight's at 7.
Are you nervous? Do you nerve before a flight?
I do, but like we have all day after I record this to get ready. I think I just know it's like going to be a crazy flight because they're already being like, we'll switch you for free. Do you want to fly tomorrow? We'll switch you for free. We'll go to the airport. And if you offer my family like $1,000 each, we'll fly tomorrow.
We'll fly tomorrow. But that's easy. But I'm not doing it. No,
I'm not doing it to save your ass. Like,
no,
you better give me some loot. So unfortunately, you do have to show up at the airport for that offer to ever land on the table. But sometimes they'll offer you like some good money. And if it's per person, I'm always like, that's four people that we're going to get this money.
Not bad. Not bad.
Not bad. But we are going to have to pay for a cab ride there and home if that's the case.
Totally. Totally. And the stress. We'll see. Kids like going to the airport?
Yeah. They love flying. They're fine with it. They're like easy travel kids.
Yeah. How was Clear Lake?
Clear Lake was great because, you know, it's a lake. It was great. I got a bacterial infection there, which was very strange. I'm not blaming you, Clear Lake, to be fair. Whoa. We on the way. I could have been anything, but I've never seen anything like this. Let me tell you what happened, because it was sort of scary and strange, given also what kind of year I've had.
You've had, also, this is crazy. I'm just going to interrupt, because I also met someone recently that had the parvo virus. And parvo, I was like, oh my.
It's crazy.
Like,
well, given parvo and given that, like, boob scare I had where I had to go get the biopsy. So what happened was I woke up one morning. First of all, let me preface this by saying my period's always on time or a day early, and it was 4 days late on this trip. And in my head, I'm
fun,
like,
risky.
Matt,
you're
got
like
a vasectomy. This can't be. But I was like, of course, like, we'll be the one couple that they're like, oh my God, it's like a one in a million chance. And then I will get pregnant. And I was like, totally freaking out. My body felt weird. So on the way to Clear Lake, we stopped at a Walgreens in the middle of like a nothing town in Iowa. And
Iowa? You mean Indiana? Iowa's on the other side of Illinois, and you didn't go there.
Okay. It was a state that we were driving through. Is there any other states you go through? I gotta look at a map.
You go through like New York, Pennsylvania, maybe Ohio, Indiana.
Oh, you know what? It was Ohio.
Yeah, it wasn't Iowa. I was like, that doesn't geographically make sense at all.
Let me ask you, is there actually a difference between Iowa and Ohio?
Yes.
If you're from one of those places, tell me what the difference is.
Hey, I'm from the Midwest. I can tell you. See, I'm not like from the fake Midwest, like your ass.
Aren't they
Colorado?
Both just like cornfield places? Cornfields?
They're both cornfield places, but there's a different vibe. Ohio is like a little bit like a lot of sea cities, Columbus, Cleveland, Cincinnati. There's a lot of universities there. I feel like Iowa's like a little more like proper farmland. Ohio has like a little bit more, I think, some city vibes. But it's also a little bit like, I would say it was a swing state politically. I think it's a little bit more, I think Ohio's bigger state politically because for a while it was a swing state, which I think does affect the culture of a state. Anyway, that's just, I do think that they're different, but that's just me.
No, that's not just you. I'm pretty sure most people feel that
if you're from
different.
There or you're from the Midwest, probably. I don't know. Iowa
Either
just
way,
feels different to
they
me
They both
than
probably
Ohio.
Have Walgreens. I went to one and I got a pregnancy test, and I said to the, I'm buying it at the counter, and this woman has like three different, she's an older woman, and she's got three different eyeshadows stacked. It was really pretty, like a rainbow. And I buy it. She rings me up, and then I go, and I also have to go use your restroom. And she was like, I got to get the key, honey. And she like goes and gets the key. And she's like walking me back. And she goes, gets to the door, unlocks it, and goes, well, I hope you get the answer you're looking for.
Bless her. Bless her. God, I love that. I love that so much. That's like,
I do too.
That is
the right thing
to say. That
she
is
nailed
the absolute.
It.
She nailed it on the head.
And I did. I got the answer I was looking for, which was that I wasn't pregnant. And then I proceed to have my period 4 days late. And like on day two, I wake up and my right boob hurts so bad in a crazy way where I was like, oh,
Quinn.
I guess some people's boobs hurt when they have their periods. So maybe that's what's happening. But I was like, this is bizarre. Like it was like heavy and hard and hurt all day, like terrible.
Did it feel
and
like then, you were breastfeeding in a way?
Yes. And like also just so sensitive, like Griff would like accidentally elbow me and I would like scream. Like it was like so Quinn, tender.
That sounds so
bad. I was like,
bad.
What's going on? And then later that night I look and I've got like red spidery looking things coming off the nipple. So it's almost like somebody took a red marker and drew squiggly lines on my boob. Like
what the fuck?
Spider veins, but red. And they weren't veins. And like one of them did like a line down and then a circle, probably an outline of Iowa or Ohio. And it was like just like squiggly, like somebody colored on it. And I was like,
Quinn,
what is
this
happening?
This is insane.
It was like I was being like, it was really crazy looking. So
that's so scary.
I go down like a Google rabbit hole in the middle of the night and decide that I have a very rare form of cancer or a bacterial infection. And I'm like, you know what? I got to go to see a doctor. So I'm in the, you know, I'm in Indiana now and I go to an urgent care and they're kind of got a wacky vibe. And the lady seeing me, the doctor, I told her, I said, you know, I went down this rabbit hole and it's either cancer or a bacterial infection. And she said, let me see. And I show it to her and she goes, whoa, that is weird. Not what you want the doctor to say. And then I was like, great. And she's like, let's go with bacterial. And I'm like, totally. Couldn't agree more.
I love that
choice.
Okay,
so I'll get you a
prescription
for a really general bacterial infection. And I was like, let's do it up. So went and got my medicine. And it did go away in like 3 days taking these antibiotics. But I the whole thing was so odd. It's like, did I get it from the creek we waded through in Pennsylvania? Did I get it from Clear Lake? Did a bug bite me? Did like a weird fucking bug bite me on the boob? And like my, I had a reaction. Like I've never seen anything like this. It was strange.
That's so,
so
crazy.
Add it
Quinn.
To the
and
list
it, like,
of fucking ailments.
Things to be afraid of. I just like can't imagine like how it was focused on your tit, like your breasts. It, like I don't understand that.
That's what I felt. I was like, what could this even be? Like, it was just so bizarre. I'm just glad it went away, you know? And then we had a really nice rest of the trip with just, like, being lazy. I, like, read a really good book, Miranda July, All Fours, if anyone's curious. It's like everyone's reading that book right now. And I was like,
well,
I'm going to jump on the bandwagon.
And we know why, because it's fucking good.
Because it's great, yeah.
Quinn, I'm like so shocked of this like boob bacteria that you got.
Me too. I'm still. I just finished my antibiotics yesterday. Because you know you're supposed to take them even when you get
better.
You
should take it because you don't know. No, I agree. I know. I was actually about.
They
to
didn't
say the same
have
thing.
Interact with alcohol. I googled them a lot to make sure that was so because I was like, also antibiotics. You better not ruin this lake
this trip
for
me
because I like to have a White Claw on a boat. Or a High Noon. I like to have a canned, strange, like, little touch of the booze.
I love that when you came onto the White Claw train pretty late, but, like, you're
super
there to party.
Late.
You're super late, but
yeah.
You're there.
I'm like, has anyone heard of this? It's seltzer with a little bit of booze. Really fun.
People like, yeah.
Really, really fun.
We have. Gwen, I like it.
And
I like this for
I
you.
Just,
I'm sorry
I
about your boob.
I lay down in the boat, and Rosie would drive it around, and it was funny because she was like, oh, I want to water ski. And we were like, yeah, yeah. And we found a water ski and one of those thingy dings you hold on to. And she said, well, this is a pontoon boat. It doesn't really go fast enough to water ski. But since I know how to water ski, I might be able to get up. And she did. And we were like cheering for her and so psyched. And then Matt's like, I want to try. I've never water skied. And she's like, okay, well, just so you know, when you water ski, you're usually on a, you know, being pulled by a speed boat. So
yeah.
it gets you up and out of the water much easier. And she's like, this is going to be like a lot of muscle work and kind of weird because it doesn't really pull you up. Like you have to hold yourself up in a different way. Yeah.
I bet he was really
like,
good
at it.
It's
not really how I would learn. And of course he like did it.
Nailed it. Yeah. Like, that's instantly. Not surprising.
He got up on the second try and like water skied a bunch. And I was like, oh my God,
you married a sport guy. You married a guy. Well, not a sport guy. At
I
all,
would
but
not call him a sport guy, but
no, but he's like
definitely
an athletic. He has like a he's physical
athletic.
Acumen. Is that can I say?
Yeah.
Is that
yeah,
sound,
you can.
Like,
I think
he's just like in. It's because he went to a weird hippie clowning school, and so the
that's
kid
exactly
like
why.
That's exactly why he's just like in touch with his faculties in a way that my gangly ass isn't.
Let's sing.
By the way, you're listening to Truly.
darkly.
Creepily.
I'm Quinlan Posner.
And I'm Carrie Ipama. And let's thank some Patreons.
We only have one this time to thank. Thank. That really stank. Her name is Kendra.
But Kendra, you don't stank. Kendra, you are so Bendra of a party. I don't know what that means, but Kendra,
you are our friendra. And we love to party with you. Kendra, let me lend a handra. Let me pull you right into this warm embrace because I love your pretty face.
Face, Kendra.
Kendra.
I liked it. Kendra, thanks so much for joining Patreon. I hope you enjoy the 60. There are like 65 episodes on Patreon. So if you want more episodes of our podcast, 65 ready for you. Yeah. Just on Patreon.
I guess I just want to tell this sort of silly story, which is to say, you guys remember when I told the story of Dear David, which was the Twitter account that was like spooky and like David was like alive and living. It was so fun. I wanted to do another one like that because I had a lot of fun telling the Roadhouse story and a lot of people wrote to be like, that was so fun. And I'm like, yeah, let's do a little bit more of that sometimes. It's also, spoiler alert, when you're doing like a spooky made up story, that one I don't think is made up, but this one definitely is.
Spoiler alert.
Well, I say that this one is because it's like Dear David. It was somebody that is a writer tweeting. They went to a cabin in the woods to work. It's Tom Taylor. He works for like Marvel and DC Comics. He created a bunch of TV series. And I feel like he went to a cabin in the woods to write and then was live tweeting his experience at the cabin. So, yeah, maybe it happened. It could have happened.
It could have happened.
I think that he was also just having some fun at the cabin. But we don't know.
We don't know.
We'll have to ask Tom Taylor. This is like a cabin in the woods in the Australian brush that he legit was staying at and getting some writing done, and some things happened to him. So I'm going to tell you about what happened to him, which is that he books this cabin, shows up there on a very windy night deep in the bush, and at 5:30 in the morning, he hears wind chimes out on the porch. And what is weird about that is that he had arrived earlier in the night. And now he's hearing them at 5:30 in the morning. And he's like, it was windy all night. Why am I just now hearing these chimes? Like they just arrived or something. So he's scared. He wants to go to sleep. So he's like, I don't know what the hell's going on. So he goes out on the porch and the door slams behind him. And he's on this porch in his socks looking around and he sees them. There are these old wind chimes hanging from a rusty hook in the porch wall. And he thinks, I'll just unhook them. But before he can, he hears something rustling in the bushes nearby.
Is this like reminding you, by the way, is this reminding you at all of like when you got that note to stop your wind chimes? Is this like triggering for you at all?
Completely. Thank you for seeing me for that.
You're welcome. I just, I'm like, this feels like a little too close, but okay.
Too close to home. So he's laughing and he's like, this is so funny. Like, because he keeps saying, this is a horror movie. I'm out on this porch in my socks. I'm going to go deal with these wind chimes and now there's a noise. This is mental how scary this is. But he has the ability to still laugh at this. But then a flash happens, like a bright flash. And he has his camera out because he was going to take a picture of like, the scariness of it because he's tweeting all this. So he's like, oh, that was weird. That was almost like my camera flashed, but it flashed so much longer after I took the picture, like it was malfunctioning. So he checks his phone and he's like, the flash isn't on. What was that? And then it happens again, this flash. And he hears someone walking. And he's like, what the fuck is blinding me? What is this flash? And he looks up to finally notice someone is standing there that has a headlamp on. So he's being blinded by the headlamp when it's like if somebody's walking, it becomes visible and blinds him. And so you would think you'd just maybe like ask that person what they're doing. It's 5:30 in the morning. He just runs. He like runs into the house, slams the door and locks it. And then when he calms himself down, he's like, between the wind chimes, the rustle, and the light, that was a really weird reaction because I was scared. That is probably a jogger. Like, there are other cabins in this area. That's probably somebody, like, up going jogging in the morning. It's flashing because they're running by, but, like, that was not measured, my reaction. Here's the chimes. Goes back out, and he's like, I took them down. Are they rolling around out here? Can't find them. Goes to his room and lies down, and the door blows open to his room. And he's like, what? And he goes to shut it, and the door handle comes off in his hand. Then he can't tweet us because his phone dies.
Ooh,
and
he's good suspense.
He later tells us, I had to stop tweeting. My phone died. My battery for my phone was in the car. I was not ready to go outside to the car. So, no. But when he catches us up, he's like, here's what the deal was. I was lying in bed, staring at the ceiling. And then when I did get my phone charged, I took this video. And he shows us the video, and it's weird clicking, like tick, 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 happening in the ceiling. And he's like, what the fuck is that? Is it counting down to my death? I'm freaked. Calls his wife, has a little chit chat. Hears the wind chimes rolling again. And he hears something running across the roof. But he's like, whatever, squirrel, raccoon, who the fuck knows? I am in the Australian brush, wallaby on the roof.
It could be
who
any
knows?
Of those. Yeah.
It could be anything. It could be a kangaroo. We don't know. It's Australia. He finally goes to sleep and wakes up to someone banging on the door.
No.
Jumps up, runs to the door, and in the blind sees the shadow of like a very big person standing outside. And he calls out, what? And the knocking stops. And it's just a guy that's like, I'm here to deliver a package. And he's like, okay, just leave it. And the guy's like, you need to sign for it. And he's like, no, like he just won't open the door. He's like, no, I'm not gonna do it. Can you please just leave it there, dude? And the guy's like, not really. Like, they go back and forth, and the guy's like, okay, and like leaves the package on the porch. Fine. Goes out. Here's this package. It just looks like a package, but like he's in a weird headspace. Brings it into the house and is like, okie dokie. 4 nights left in this cabin. I don't think I'm going to open the package. Like, I don't think I'm going to bring it in. Like, maybe I'll actually just leave it on the porch. Okay, maybe I'll bring it in. But I'll put it. There's like a fire grate. He like puts it over the fence in the fire grate. And he takes a picture. He's like, I'm keeping it safe in here. And it's one of those old timey, you can make a fire in it deals. Like, oveny thing. Mm-hmm. And people start responding to this tweet being like, I see a face in the fire thing. And there is, but it looks like a stuffed animal. And he's like, oh, yeah, I see that, too. That little bear face. That's so weird. Had to have been like a reflection that just ended up looking like a bear's face. And he's like, it does look cute and cuddly. As far as faces go, I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, it could be worse.
But then people are responding to all his tweets, and he says, to the people who pointed out what looks like a person standing in the window of the cabin photo I took last night, you are not helping. And there is like a little bit of a figure if you want to see one. He goes in one of the rooms of the cabin, and there's a tiny child's chair in front of a TV that's on. That's snow, like no reception. And he's like, that's so
scary. I've
seen
that movie.
Yeah, totally. Get more creative, Tom. He goes back later. And the package that had been in the fire is next to the tiny chair. And he's like, what? And then he does kind of a funny trick where he's trying to show us. And then he zooms in and gets closer and closer to like the static of the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then he zoomed in on it and you're like, heart's racing because it's a video. And then he screams, like he starts to scream and it shuts off. And it's so scary. Like, I watched that video a bunch because my kids were in the room when I was researching and they were like, show it again. Like, it's so scary.
I thought it would be one of those things where it was like in the white and then all of a sudden like the exorcist face comes up. You know, those videos where it's like, here's a fun video. You'll never guess what happens here to this lovely family. And it's like the exorcist girl. It's like Linda Blair, just like
so scary.
So scary.
Well, then he tweets, he's like, sorry, you guys, I was trying to do that zoom and I stubbed my toe. Like, it's like one of those like horror movie fake outs, and a jump scare. It was totally like fun. And he's like, oh, I'm in bed, I want to go to sleep, but I hear something on the roof. And then he starts looking around. He looks in the two bedside tables in his room, and he opens one bedside table, and there's a book in it titled "This House is Haunted." And he's like, I'm not going to open the other. And everyone's like, you have to open the other. You have to open the other. What I love about it is the interplay. Like, it's very immersive, right? Where everyone's like, no, you have to. And then he opens the other drawer on the other side of the bed. And he's like, this might be worse. And it's a book titled Games to Play with Babies. Oh, and then everybody freaks out because there's three shoes in the picture. Like, he's taking the picture from top down, and you can see three shoes. Like, I think, though, he was just standing next to one of his shoes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it does feel like there might be an explanation for that. But
it's fun because I think people are looking for Easter eggs in every picture.
Yeah, people are looking for clues.
So, of course, he hears the wind chimes again. It wouldn't be a normal night at the cabin if you didn't hear those ghost chimes. But he's like, there's no wind. And I brought the chimes inside and put them with the package in this old wooden dollhouse I found. So they shouldn't be ringing outside. Like, why am I hearing the wind chimes outside? And then everyone's like, show us the damn dollhouse. And there's a picture of the chimes and the package on the dollhouse. And everybody's like, oh my God, oh my God, what's with the stuffed animal? What's with the stuffed animal? And on top of the dollhouse is this little stuffed, he's like, for all of you asking, it's a bilby. It's a kind of Australian native bunny. And everybody's like, no, no, the animal that's glowing. And he's like, it's not glowing. What are you talking about? And they're like, look to the left top of the picture. And you look, and the bear's there. Like, the teddy bear face is there. Pass. Like, glowing. In like, far away glowing. It's so good. It's so creeped. Ooh, spooky. And then he takes a video of moths flying outside. And people are like, moths entering a house is a sign of death to come. Which I never have heard of.
That's concerning because I literally just had like three moths come into this house.
You're
going to
die so much
fuck.
Today. You're going to die.
Shit. Hey, it's been real. You can release this posthumously if that's the case.
Oh, in memoriam.
In memoriam. Could you imagine this being the in memoriam episode?
So weird.
Awful. Really awful.
I'm so sorry, Carrie. Someone is standing on the porch. He can see. The door is unlocked and someone is standing on the porch and he's like, what am I going to do? And he goes and the guy's like, I'm here to fix the phone line. And he's like, OK. And he lets him in. And then he realizes after he lets him in,
there's no phone line.
So he's like, OK. And so the guy's like, thanks for letting me in. There's just like no way that they were going to get anybody else to come all the way out here again. And then he just goes straight to that weird TV and tiny chair. And he takes a picture from far away, like spying on the guy. And the guy's just bent down, like with his face right by the TV. And then he freaks because when he takes a picture of the guy, he didn't realize his phone was not on silent. So it's like, chick, chick, you know, like that. It's like a very audible sound of him taking the picture. And so he's like so embarrassed. And then the guy, leaves. But he's like, that was fucking weird.
We are mixing genres here. The genres of this story are all over. I like it.
Me too. So then he sends us all a video of a swinging in the yard outside.
Okay.
And he's like, there is no wind. And then people point out that there's a shadow. If you look at the shadow of the swing, it looks like someone's sitting in it, even though no one is. Like, it's too big. And then he's taking, like, videos of him walking in the house. And he's like, I'm going to walk to this room. And there'll be Easter eggs. Like, he walks by the fridge. And the fridge magnets spell death. Like, some of them. But, like, he doesn't notice. And we have to point it out. Yeah, it's very fun. And, of course, he hears the wind chimes. Of course, he wants to go to investigate. And when he goes out, he sees the swinging. And then people are talking about how if you take the video that he posted and you increase the brightness in it, you seem to be able to see a figure. I was looking at that and I was like, I can't really see it, but I believe you. And then he's like, guys, it definitely is a horror movie because there's a storm on the way. So he's looking through all the books in the house and he finds one that's on mass murder. And he's like, there's some dog-eared pages. I'm not going to check and see what they say. I'm freaked out. And then he notices a piece of artwork in the cabin he takes a picture of to show us, that's this creepy outline of a tree with a cabin that looks like his cabin. And there's this kind of ghost girl, like transparent girl in a yellow dress in the tree. It's very creepy. But so everyone's like, ooh, ghost girl. Then he hears something inside a cupboard. Another door handle falls off. The wind's getting like crazier. It's like everything's ramping up. The cabin loses power. He finds a lantern. And when he takes it, he goes to take a picture of like the lantern. And the piece of art he showed us earlier is in the background. And there's like a glowing paw print on it. Like the bear.
What is going on?
And then he's like, because you all asked and the power's out and it's scary, I'm going to open the package. And you're like, that's mental. So he opens the package and the first
planning
thing
of this
shows
is
us,
insane.
Yeah.
The planning.
So then there's a video of like him opening the package, which is very, you know, you're like on pins and needles. He pulls out a letter first. And it says, thank you for booking our beloved cabin. While we no longer use it, this house holds many happy memories for us. In particular, it was a wonderful place for our daughter to play. If you see, please give her. And then he opens and there's a teddy bear inside the package. And he's like, ah! So then there's kind of some confusion on my part with the videos that follow, which is to say he does try to get in the car and leave, which is scary. Like he's like running, he's getting in the car, he's driving in the storm. It's very scary. But then he realizes that he's out of gas and the car, he can't continue. So then he just walks and he takes the package to the nearby sea and he fucking throws it in the sea. And he's like, I'm out.
Pass.
Like throws it in the ocean and is like, goodbye package, no thank you. Walks the rest of the way home, gets to the porch, and there's a
guess
soaking
there.
Wet package on the porch. And it's just like a pile. It's sitting on a chair with like a pile of water underneath it. He walks in and the little bear is sitting in the little chair in front of that TV.
The bear is in
You're
the
like,
chair.
You're like, no fucking
it turns
way.
Into
the
a
bear
nursery.
In the chair. The bear in the chair. And he's really staring at the TV. It's creepy. So
Whoa.
He says, he went, it's now early morning. He's gonna figure out a way to get out of here today. But he's
he didn't
like,
do a lot
first,
of writing. Unfortunately, the work took the writing. He didn't. His writer's block still continues. And for that, that's sad.
He's like, you know what? I'm out of here, but I'm going to do what these people asked me to do. And he videos the bear in a swing, swinging, and the other swing with no one in it, swinging next to the bear. And he's like, I'm leaving the bear with this ghost child. I got to get the fuck out of here. And then the last video is him playing like some chill tunes, driving home. And it's like a minute long. And in the last, I don't know, 5 seconds, you just hear wind chimes.
That's really fun. That's really, really fun. Now, did this person write for Marvel before this or after this?
Before. I think he was like truly on a writing assignment and was like, you know, it'd be fun.
I think it was a little like there's something about it that's so clever of being like, this is a great way to showcase your writing.
Yes. It's
that's
really,
really smart.
Fun.
It's
and
really
I,
smart. It's
I
really
think
fun.
It's really fun, too, because everybody was able to interact with the story and
yeah.
be like, I see. And I like the idea of being like taking like a hapless video of you walking or something. Like he took one where he was outside and then people were like, and it was just like people would zoom in and be like, do you notice that the bear look? It looks like there's a little teddy bear in the tree he walks by. And they'd like pause it and zoom in. But it was just like a glimpse, like a heartbeat. So it'd be so fun to set those shots up and then have it be like,
that's
it's
so,
just so
fun.
Fat. Like, yeah, I just imagine it would be the most fun. Like what a wild medium to try to tell
totally.
A story through and the fun that you could have of slowly letting it unfold and having people ask questions so you could even make decisions where you'd be like, oh, they're really honing in on this aspect of the story or whatever. And then I just thought it was so clever that I wanted to do another ghost story.
Did anyone believe it?
No, I don't think anyone believed it necessarily. Like, you know what? I bet while it was happening, yes. And then I think probably when it... I think like you'd believe the first 15 tweets. And then when it starts to be like, now the TV and the bears in front of it, it's like increasing in cuckoo-ness. And I think you would start to be like, okay, I get it. And it doesn't help that the guy's like a writer that writes creepy things. So you're like, yeah, you know you're what like, you're okay, doing. This checks like, out. What are the this odds, sir?
My only note is the different genres. So it's like you have a man come, but maybe that's like a red herring because he wasn't like a creep at all. But then there's no phone line. Just interesting. Interesting stuff. I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too. And I thought that it's really fun to tell these kinds of stories because it's very minimal research and I get a kick out of reading them. And then I'm like, I'll just tell you this.
I would love the comments. The comments section has to be super fun.
Yeah, it is.
Super fun. Hey, and now a word from our sponsors. My mom the other day was like, Carrie, I noticed you say a now word from our sponsors and no sponsors spoke. And I was like, you know what? That's fair.
Somebody just told me that too. I don't know why we're doing it if the ads aren't getting put there. And people told me that the ads are getting put other places. So it's like we're in the middle of talking. Then the ad comes. Then like later we like cleanly say spot. I mean, it's bad.
Okay, guys, listen, you know what? We're trying our best. We know that the ads are coming at weird. We're trying to figure it out. We don't know how. We're on it.
But also not. Also but not
also
on
very,
it.
You can, also decidedly
you can expect
not.
More of the same in the future.
I'm excited for this story that I'm about to tell you because
good.
I found a little clip about it that was just like a kernel of information on social media through Jenna Friedman's old show. She did like a little interview with someone who I'll get to. And so when I looked deeper into the case, I was like, holy shit, this is enraging. So I got this information from New York Times, Oxygen, YouTube, the video Jenna Friedman posted. There's a book called Death of a Jewish American Princess, Deadline, Prezi, and Lakeside Press. So this story takes place in Scottsdale, which is described as a yuppie suburb of Phoenix. So it's like very nice, idyllic, golf, you know, people are like coming and making their way. It is 1975 and Stephen and Elena, they've just moved to Scottsdale from Chicago, right? So they're like, let's get out of the cold. Let's go to Arizona and live a life of luxury and golf carting in Scottsdale. They have a couple of kids, Tracy and Sean, and they're just hanging out in Scottsdale, probably in some cute, like, popped collar polos is my assumption. Some, like, light color polos is what I'm assuming is the case here. Mm-hmm. It's May 27th, 1981. Visors, I think, is here. Maybe a tennis skirt or two. It's May 27th, 1981, and just after midnight, Stephen calls the police, and he is absolutely frantic. He's freaking out. He's saying, help me, help me. My wife is dead. My wife is dead. Come here quick. The police rush over and Stephen tells them this story that some bearded burglars came into their home to steal from this family. And he tried his best to fight them off, but he couldn't stop them from killing Elena. Elena is found dead. She is stabbed 26 times with her own kitchen knife. The kitchen knife is dull because of the violent act of the stabbing. First responders on the scene of the crime talk about lifting her body, saying she couldn't have weighed more than 90 pounds. She was a very tiny woman. So the police start investigating what's going on. And according to Stephen, it was a burglary, right? Mm-hmm. When they start to look into his claims, they realize pretty quickly that there's no evidence of a break-in and the drawers are fussed around. It's very clear that there wasn't a break-in. In fact, later they'll find out that their daughter Tracy claims she saw her dad rummaging through the drawers to make it look like a robbery.
Oy.
So they realize pretty quickly it's Stephen who murdered her. And so
great
he is
story.
Arrested.
Thank you for telling it. That's really crazy. I wasn't sure at first. And now, like, the reveal. Okay, you guys.
This has been a great ep. We'll talk to you soon. Bye. Could you imagine?
Can you imagine?
I'm obsessed. So they realize pretty quickly it's the husband. Are you surprised? So surprised. Everybody, hold on. Take a minute. Wow. And so, you know, the police are sort of like interrogating him. And Stephen is going, but I have no recollection of this happening. I have no memory of this happening. And it becomes very clear that he is now trying to say that he was sleepwalking. And he murdered his wife while not conscious. So while he quickly admits that, like, it probably was him, he was the only person it could have been. Unfortunately, he doesn't remember. So he is not guilty by reasons of insanity. Because he was not sane in the act of committing the crime. So therefore, he's not responsible for the death in the legal sense.
Yeah, sure. Except all I want to say is I don't not think that sleepwalking murders can happen.
We've covered him.
And I'm like, sometimes I think it's real. I don't know about a sleepwalking cover up.
That's
I don't know
thing.
About the rifle through the drawers.
That's the thing. It just doesn't make sense at this point. So what happens is he's arrested. He's pleading not guilty by reasons of insanity. His family hires Robert Hirsch to defend him, who's a well-known criminal defense attorney. And the trial starts in 1982. And what's really fascinating about this trial and what's really groundbreaking about this trial is that the trial did not put him on the stand at all. The trial did not adjudicate whether it was him who was guilty of doing this. What the trial in fact did was put Elena on the stand posthumously and made her out to be something that I don't know if she is or isn't, but that's, they literally on the stand, they refer to her as a Jewish American princess, and they paint her out to be this woman who is nagging her husband for money and not putting out and basically slowly driving him insane, where he has a dissociative psychic break and murders this woman while he's sleepwalking. There was a report somewhere while she was being stabbed, she was crying out for her children.
Ugh.
Now, what they will not talk about at the trial is that he had a gambling problem. And that, I mean, when I say gambling problem, he did owe a couple of $1,000s, but it wasn't like tens of thousands. But it was significant where that could be motive if she stopped him from gambling. Maybe he snapped or whatever. But
yeah.
The jury never heard that. In fact, they had a, quote, expert witness by this name of Martin Blinder, who gets on the stand, and he is a, quote, a forensic psychiatrist. And what's interesting is that he's working for the defense, right, coming up, helping them sort of create this hostile home environment for poor Stephen, where his wife was nagging him. So he snapped and murdered her. But what's interesting about this forensic psychiatrist is that he was not board certified in psychology. He just had like some information, but was, quote, the expert witness. And he testified for the defendants, right? And he said that the murder was committed during a moment of dissociative reaction. He testified that in addition to Elena nagging about money and wanting more and more from him and not letting him sort of pursue his life goal of gambling, which is really hard, I think, as a relationship and a partner, she would do this really heinous thing where she like wouldn't give him sex. This was at the trial. This was laid out in the trial. He talked about how she really didn't like, you know, sex at all. And so it would be like, I don't know, like 2 minutes every Saturday where she would give him a blowjob, even though she didn't want to do that. And in this interview he's doing with Jenna Friedman, who does a really amazing job of sort of like needling this, quote, expert witness about him having biases towards this woman and not really having a full picture because he was never able to fucking interview a dead victim. He's saying things like, if you're a 40 something year old man and you wait a week, you're probably only gonna last 2 minutes. And she's like, so it's bad that she didn't want to have sex but gave him a blowjob every Saturday? Like, what's... But that was grounds for him murdering her? And she's like, well, you... And he goes, well, you know, there are battered wife syndromes where, like, women are treated horribly and they stay with their partner and are very loving and loyal. And she was like, yeah. Okay. So, like, talking about abuse victims and a man who was, quote, being nagged about money and... not having regular sex every day. I don't know if you can draw the parallels between battered husband syndrome and battered wife syndrome. It just doesn't make sense. So this is a landmark case. And another thing is that this guy, Martin Blinder, also says, he's like, yeah, no. And she would talk to her mom on the phone for hours every day. And Stephen was very generous and painted that in a good light. You know, he applauded, but, you know, that's time away from him. It's like the most, this is in the 1980s. This is like absolutely.
Sounds like it's in the 50s.
The 1980s. Like, this guy, Martin Blinder, is still alive and was like standing by
his
defense. It's so insane. So psychologists claimed that he was temporarily insane and he experienced short-term stress-related dissociative reaction, battered husband syndrome. Yep, they use it.
Lawyer is temporarily insane.
This certainly, like, but here's the thing that's wacky. Fucked. So her family, Elena's family, ends up hiring an attorney just to, like, try to preserve her name. Even though she's dead, they're like, we don't want our family member's name to be raked through the fucking mud because this guy's trying to get off for murdering this woman, his wife, and he stabbed her 26 times. Like, the amount of stabbing that, like, the violent act of it is pretty insane. It doesn't say that there was a lot of, like, violence before this between the two of them. So, but what's interesting is while the evidence is against him, right? They have a staged burglary. They have, you know, the forensics from the scene of the crime. Apparently, the Scottsdale police are not equipped with this type of murder investigation. So a lot of the evidence was poorly processed and the police did do a sloppy job collecting the evidence. And so in addition, like, this gambling question, him not being a perfect witness, right? This never comes up. The prosecution never brings up that he was gambling, so the jury doesn't hear it at all. And in addition to this, while the case is being made, the prosecutor has to prove premeditated murder, right? That's it's first-degree murder that he's up against. And so he's going, hey, this was premeditated. He did it. He got away with it. And the prosecution was like, we'd also like to put up murder too, right? So it's like, we can ask the jury to either do first degree murder or we can do a lesser degree of second degree murder. But the judge denied that and said, it's either going to be, and she instructed the jury on this. She said, either it's premeditated murder, not guilty, or not guilty by reason of insanity. So they didn't even have a chance to go less than. So the burden of proof for premeditated murder is pretty high. The jury goes to deliberate after the case is closed. They deliberate for just 3 hours. They walk out not guilty by reason of insanity. And he walks out of the courtroom a free man.
Whoa.
It's insane. And what's crazy is, of course, after the fact, there's a lot of conversation about this case, right? It's like the anti-Semitism from it, using the phrase Jewish American princess. Yes.
Kill my wife and say that I was sleeping.
Yeah.
Didn't know it was an option. Great.
Yeah. The, like, misogyny of this case, the double standards of what is battered husband syndrome versus battered wife syndrome, which is laughable, and I have to laugh because otherwise I will punch a wall. What's really crazy is that, again, like, her family has hired an attorney to help preserve her name through this trial, but they were able to interview jury members after the trial, and jury members talked about feeling bad for Stephen. One juror went as far as to say, you know, Stephen shouldn't have been put on trial. He should have gotten a medal. And here's what's really... No, for the murder job.
A woman on her knees? Like, what's the medal look like?
Because the fact that he could live with this woman for that long and not kill her, he's amazing. What's really crazy is because he was not guilty and sent and not accused, not guilty of this crime, he inherited his wife's money and her belongings.
Ugh, gross.
So disgusting, which paid for the case, which paid for the lawyer, which helped smear her name.
I hope she haunts him.
I hope she haunts his ass for sure. And what's crazy is he gave up custody of his kids to Elena's parents, which is the right and only thing to do. But it was, quote, for their safety, because if he was sleepwalking, like, who knows what he could do next?
Yeah, that motherfucker just wanted a new life.
For sure. I mean, there was no talk of him having an affair or anything, but would we be surprised if we found that out? Absolutely not. So, obviously, while he got off scot-free, obviously the case caused a lot of conversation and started a lot of change. So because of the failure of this case, there was a new law that was adopted by Arizona as well as some other states, which is they amended the law to bring the burden of proof onto the defendant who would need to serve jail time. And so if they were, it's basically you're considered guilty but insane, as opposed to not guilty by reason of insanity. So it's like guilty but mentally ill, which allows for someone to be innocent, right, if they're not cognitively aware of the crime, but they must serve a sentence at a mental institution that could be as long as if they were sentenced to prison. So it wouldn't allow someone who had this happening just kind of go scot-free, leave the courtroom an absolutely free man. It does impose a little bit of guidelines of, hey, maybe you should go to an institution or a hospital to get treatment. Because otherwise, I mean, what is justice here? Because from where I'm sitting, I can't see it. I can't see it at all. And so I think they turn this into a mini series, or they're going to, but the book is called Death of a Jewish American Princess. And it's just, it's so maddening. And the idea that a man can get on the stand and say that a wife gave a blowjob for 2 minutes every week deserved to die. And I know that's not exactly what he said, but you know what? It is.
It's so, what we heard.
It's what I heard. And you know what? What I hear matters.
And I wasn't sleeping.
And I wasn't sleeping. I was fully awake. Ugh. Anyway, so that's an enraging case, just to kind of get
barf
your...
Barf city.
It's a barf city. It's a barf city. And that's a story.
Koa barfed in the car. Steinberg.
Wait, what?
Koa barfed in the car for the first time. He was reading.
He doesn't throw up.
No.
Oh,
and
no.
And he was like, my tummy hurts. And then he barfed so much. And we were all like in the car, like 2 hours from home. It was rough.
Was he crying?
Yeah, he was sad. It was cute.
I don't blame him.
We took him out of the car at a gas station, and we had to, like, clean out his car seat as best we could, have put a towel down. And then, you know, because you're like, I can't really, like, I got to go home and get, like, a hose and, like, strip this car seat and wash it. And he was really sweet. But he, you know, he just learned how to read pretty recently, and he's really excellent at it. And he was like, I'm just going to, like, sit back here and read a whole book. And because it was, you know, like a 6-hour drive that we were doing that day.
Oh my God. Reading in the car is a dangerous thing. It's like it's a gamble that I lose every time.
Yeah.
I lose every
Matt
time.
Matt thinks it's bad that I keep being like, it's because you were reading. He's like, don't say that. And I'm like, why? And he's like, I think it's great that he was doing that, and I don't want him to have a bad association. I'm like, but yeah, you can't,
Matt.
You can't read in the car.
You can't read in a moving car. You can't read in a moving car.
No.
And
Matt wants him
it sounds
to keep
like he
reading
got
and
so
keep throwing up, I think.
Honestly, that's fine if Matt wants to clean it up.
He threw
God,
up
I
a blueberry
this...
muffin. It was like purple. It was really pretty, the vomit.
Fuck you.
As far as colors of vomit go. I was like, oh, gorgeous. Blueberry dyed. It's very pretty.
Aw. Well, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Aw. Aw. Should we record our Patreon episode?
Yes. Oh my God. I'm also telling a ghost story in that. Do you die?
Yay. I'm telling Why a story not? That, let's do a teaser. I'm telling an amazing story of something that went viral that has nothing to do with.
And
okay,
it's not an infection.
I'll tell you. I'll give you, it's, you know, the, do you remember that blue dress, gold dress debacle?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's not where the story ends. And I'll just tell you that.
Okay, I can't wait. I also want to thank Amy I for reviewing us on Apple. She said that this is an interesting way to qualify us. She said fave pod of the week. Like, God, Amy, you listen to a lot.
Yes,
she said,
Amy.
You guys are amazing. I've been listening to you since you were on Bob Ruff. I'm sorry, no more Lifetime money. TDC is way cooler. Love, Amy.
Amy, we love you. Nice. Also, Amy I, you have a last name that's I. Best friends. Oh, my God. Speaking of which, I saw someone here. I looked at a poster, and there's someone that has the same last name as me here. I messaged them, and I haven't heard back, but what's amazing is, like,
they pee their pants too.
They pee their pants. And I was like, hey, it's me, Carrie. I'm doing a show here too. We have the same last name. I feel like we might be related. I've heard nothing back, but fine.
Fine. They don't want to be twinning, but they are.
Well, our name is so rare.
Yeah, Ipoma. Totally.
Anyway, Ipoma. Okay. We'll see you next time.
Catch you next week. Maybe.
Or not.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.